You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Renato Paratore secures his maiden European Tour title with a tenth victory at the Nordea Masters.
Best feeling right now. Again, I'm very happy because this win mean a lot for me. I was looking forward for this win the last year, and now I achieved that, so it's very nice for me.
And we'll speak exclusively to the Italian shortly. Paratore was pushed all the way by two Englishmen, defending champion Matt Fitzpatrick and Chris Wood.
Yes, obviously disappointing, but I'm sure after a couple of days I'll sort of think, well, some points on the board should nudge me back into the US Open for a week or two's time, so that's what I came here to do, really.
A review of all the action from Sweden to come, plus we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Lioness Open, powered by Organic Plus. Good day to you, and I'm very pleased to say that alongside me is Ewan Murray, refreshed from another leafy week in the South Downs. How are you, Ewan?
I'm in great form. Looking forward to what is a very busy part of the season.
Yeah, we're getting into... We've just had the first Rolex Series event in the BMW PGA Championship, and we get into a run very shortly. More of that later. First, let's concentrate on what happened in Sweden. Barsebäck, a great old golf course that we know well on the European Tour.
Yeah, very well supported as well. Tremendous amount of spectators there over the course of the 4 days. They do love their golf in Sweden.
They do, and the weather wasn't great, though, last day.
Not so good last day, but that somehow added to the drama.
Chris Wood had a slender lead going into the final round and was always going to be the guy that everyone was shooting at.
Yeah, very much in form. Played pretty well at Wentworth in the defence of his BMW PGA title and brought that form there, and I think most money would have been on Wood to win.
Bogey the first, bogey the third. All of a sudden, a whole pile of players were going to get very close to him or even get past him.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be between maybe two or three players because of that start you talked about there of Chris Wood. All of a sudden, there was a dozen players in there with a good chance of winning, which added to the excitement and the drama at the end of the tournament.
George Kurtsier was playing some way ahead of the leading players, and with a 9-birdie round of 66, he posted a score that actually could have been a threat.
It was almost going to be a repeat, one felt, of the BMW PGA when Alex Norén came through the field there and finished some 2 hours before the leaders. But it didn't work out that way. There wasn't that much wind over the closing few holes. The course was damp, it was more receptive. And these players that finished in the top three or four there finished powerfully.
So Chris Wood started to recover as he got towards the end of the front nine. And then Renato Paratore, you sort of sensed, saw his chance.
You know, you look at the age of Paratore and you think, how many chances has he had of winning? Will he grasp this one as early on in his career? His putting over the course of the last five holes was sensational. 14, 16 and 17 for the pars, and his putt at the last, for me, was the shot of the week. Some 30-yard putt up there to within 2 or 3 inches.
That is one massive green, that last green at Barsebäck. It's huge.
It is, especially when the pin's over there in the back left-hand corner, which is the traditional Sunday pin position.
But unusual golf course in the fact that most of it's in between the pine and it's rolling fairways, but you get out onto the headland at some point, so you've got a bit of links playing there as well.
That's right, down by the Ore Sound, down by 8 and 9 and 10 there before you come back up the hill and into the wood. It's a nice mixture of holes, Barsebäck. It was a great venue for the Solheim Cup a few years back. And like yesterday, it was supported then by spectators in the thousands.
So you mentioned that Renato had two putted from miles away on 18 to get to 11. Chris Wood was 11 standing on the last tee. You would have backed him to par the last.
Yes, he had a good chance of a birdie at 17 from 20 feet. And I think he must have thought that was going to go in. But with the 3 wood off the 18th tee and as steady as Chris Wood is, I would have expected him to find the fairway, maybe the first cut, not going to be a problem. But he was a good 35 yards offline.
Yeah, and in the end, he could only make a bogey, which meant that Renato Paratore was champion. Must also mention what a fantastic defence it was from Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Definitely, the early double bogey took him a few paces back, and he probably felt he was out of the running then. But birdie after birdie, and plugged away, and just waited until something better came along. And it did, and I think it shows how experienced he is becoming at such a young age.
Every week on the European Tour, a player from a country wins, and then we start talking about all the other young players that are from that country, and the focus this week is on Italy because of Paratore's win. They're building a nice little group of players on the European Tour.
Well, they've been a big part of the European Tour for a long time. You go back to 72, the year after the European Tour was formed, and Baldovino Dasso, I remember, shot 60. Over there, Kronos here. Massimo Minnelli was another one, a great pal of yours. Another one in our area would have been Costantino Rocca.
Sure.
Then you've got the Molinaris, you've got the Maniceros, and now we've got the Paratoris.
Yeah, and there's others. Nino Battesio's trying to break through. So it's obvious when you're looking from the outside, but it's very healthy when you've got a clutch together. Like the young Belgians have got a little group that's growing, and the French guys have got a group that's growing. It's very healthy that you've got that, that sort of brotherhood, guys from the same country, and B, you're trying to beat each other every week.
Well, you look at Colsans, who really dropped over the course of the last 3 years. He was a Ryder Cup player in 2012 at Medina. All of a sudden, because Thomas Peters is playing so well, you do get the feeling that's had an effect on Nicolas Colsans, the two Belgians there that you were talking about. France as well. What makes me think of Paratori's victory is the Ryder Cup of 2022, Italy.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And he comes from Rome. He lives in a piazza just at the north end of the Via del Corso. So I think for him to be in Rome, if he makes it to 2022 and he keeps on this curve that he's on now, he's going to get in there. It'd be amazing. Absolutely amazing. What a Ryder Cup that's going to be. Following the one, of course, at Le Golf National in Paris in 2018 next year. Some social media reaction goes like this. Pablo Larrazábal said, Grande Renate Paratori, young talent, awesome spirit, golf lover, and now European Tour winner. Welcome to the club. Eduardo Molinari said, Grande Renatino, which is a little Renato. Another Italian victory on the European Tour, feeding into what we were saying about the countries really digging what they do amongst themselves. Paul Eels said, great to see Renato Paratori win and Matthew Fitzpatrick run so close. The game is in good hands. Fantastic players who get on with it. And we do love that, Ewan, players who just get on with it.
Golf's over 18 holes. What they need to do is they need to play quicker.
Yeah.
They need to look at Renato because he gets over the ball there. He's made his mind up. He knows how far he's got to go. And there's no dithering. There's no talking with the caddy. If you cut out all of that stuff on the world tours, and I don't just mean the European Tour, the world tours, then I think people are going to enjoy watching golf. I think they're going to enjoy watching it more than they do now.
Yeah.
The time it takes is too long.
Yes, it is too long. And you know, the slow ones have got to look at themselves. You know who you are. Well, I am delighted to say that we're now joined by the latest winner on the European Tour, Renato Paratori, a young man with a lot of ambition and a big golf game. Renato, you must be thrilled with the win.
Yeah, really happy about this reaction about these phenomenal players. Yeah, Renatino is my nickname, everyone.
You have now become a winner on the European Tour, and you're joining a growing list of Italian champions on the European Tour. Little Italy in Europe, that must be a pretty special place to be a part of.
Yeah, I am really happy to enjoy all the Costantino, Molinari, Manassero win on tour, yeah.
Renato, congratulations. What was it like playing in that final round yesterday?
I was won by the lead, but was not easy because we were like six people in contention, all eight, seven, nine under, with a very good player. So I knew I had to do a really good round.
Yeah, and you made very key par saves on 16, 17 and 18. They were very important.
Yeah, I finished with three very important par. We made two very good par in the 16 and 17 were very important.
Did you think it was going to go to a playoff?
Yeah, I believe I went to the playoff because Chris, very good player, so I didn't believe to win. But then he made a bad tee shot in a tough hole, so I could take the lead, yeah.
Matteo Manassero won a few times before he got to the age of 20, so at a very young age. Was he someone that you looked at and thought, you know, if he can do it, it can inspire me?
Yeah, of course. When I was 15, he was my idol because he won Wentworth, then that is the most important tournament in Europe. So, yeah, inspired a lot by him.
You've become champion at just the right time on the European Tour with the big Rolex Series events coming up.
Yeah, now I have 2 weeks rest and we have three tournaments, 7 million. That is very important. To play well, I can do a big move.
At the end of the summer, the Italian Open is also now a Rolex Series event. You going there as a champion, an Italian champion on the European Tour will make that very special.
Yeah, of course. I looking forward to play there. Will be very nice. It's always to play Italian Open, so really I can't wait to play there.
You're playing some great golf at a very young age. Surely you have an eye on the 2022 Ryder Cup in Rome?
Of course, one goal I would like to achieve, but it's far from now. I have to improve a lot and be focused, but for sure can be one goal.
You are one of a group of players on tour, Renato, that play the game quickly. You don't take too much time, and you play at a really... For us golf fans watching television, to watch you and players like you, it's fantastic. Are you aware of that?
Thanks. I am happy about that. I enjoy it because I don't want to think too much about the shot, also to the strategy, but then on the tee, I want just to play golf.
Fantastic. Well done. Congratulations for being a winner at such a young age. And I think Italian golf is in rude health. And you look at the players that you mentioned and now yourself, it's going to be a lot of fun going forward. Well done.
Yeah.
Warm congratulations. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
He's obviously thrilled there, you and Renato, and quite right.
Why not? I mean, 20 years of age and you've got your first victory. You've tucked that away. He'll be looking forward to the next tournament, the one after that, the one that follows that, and the years that he has ahead of him. Terrific to see a youngster with that amount of talent. And he has a tremendous amateur record. He's a two-time Junior Ryder Cup. He was Portuguese amateur champion back in 2014. So this has been coming from a very young age. He's not all of a sudden found the secret. He's been a good player from a young age.
Yeah, all these guys like John Rahm and people that you haven't known much about until they hit the headlines, their career has been going for a long time before they get to where they are. And yeah, Renato Paratori, top man. And as you said, you're in his 20s, not 21 until the end of the year, so he becomes the youngest winner on tour since Countryman and Golf Six's partner Matteo Manassero won the BMW PGA Championship in 2013. And Renato's victory comes in his 83rd appearance and will move him into the top 150 in the official world golf ranking. So now he's playing well and he's got the confidence of being a winner. The next few weeks, which are huge on the European Tour, Rolex Series events aplenty. It'll be fun to see how well he gets on when the big events come. They're just around the corner. Well, it was a nightmare final hole ultimately that cost Chris Wood from forcing a playoff. So how does the Englishman feel about his efforts?
A little bit scrappy with some really good stuff in there as well. So all week I feel like I've been fighting my swing and probably surprised myself as to a lot of the good shots I hit this week. But your flaws come out when you're under pressure. So left's been my bad shot for a while now. So it's obviously disappointing, but I'm sure after a couple of days I'll sort of think, well, some points on the board should nudge me back into the US Open for a week or two's time. So that's what I came here to do, really.
Great, Ewan. I know disappointment that you don't win for Chris Wood, but great that you can compete so hard when you don't feel you're right on it.
Definitely. It's very easy to shoot 64 and 65 when you're at your very best. It's sometimes hard to shoot 70, 71 when you're at your worst. And it's the sign of a good player that can go out there with not his A game and still perform and still compete.
So good effort from Chris Wood and didn't quite make it. Neither did Matthew Fitzpatrick, but he was the defending champion. A share of second place for him with a final round of 67. He was delighted.
Best I've played in quite a while. Sort of really hit nicely tee to green and just managed to make the putts as well. So particularly in this weather, it was great.
That's really pleased how you recovered from that double bogey down three.
Yeah, it wasn't obviously a great start to round. Started really well with the birdie on one, but two out on three wasn't ideal. But, managed to battle back and delighted the way I have done and come back with some great chances, gave myself some great chances and managed to make them.
Matthew's game, Ewan, built around tee to green?
I think a good all-round game, a very good putter as well, good chipper, a player with no weaknesses. I think it's very important for players of that age, like Matthew Fitzpatrick, to really have a career in Europe before they start taking on the United States. And I know you look at the prize money over in the States week in, week out, but you look at the Rolex Series now, you look how much money they're playing for here, the world ranking points they can secure, which gets them into the majors, which gets them into the World Golf Championships. And I would like to see our youngsters, and Renato Paratori is going to be one of these youngsters as well, that they base themselves in Europe and they get used to contention and they get used to winning.
Point well made. Well, the round of the day undoubtedly came from George Coetzee after the South African broke the course record with a 7-under par round of 66, which featured 9 birdies.
Yeah, it's always nice to get a course record. I haven't done it in a while, so it's nice to get your name up on the board.
Was there any particular point of the round you thought, maybe I'm in here, maybe the chip-in as well?
Yeah, no, the chip-in really helped. But, yeah, probably when I birdied 11, I thought, you know, there's a couple of par fives to come. If I could just get a couple more, started giving myself little targets to aim at, which you probably shouldn't do, but I kind of stuck to the routine and birdieing 12, hit a nice pitch, and yeah, just happy to have posted a good number.
He's a deceptive player, George, because you don't see him for a few weeks, and then when he gets on it, bang, he has a good result.
Yeah, he's had his injury problems over the course of the last 18 months. I'm not sure how you birdie half the holes you play on a Sunday, you know.
That's pretty good, though, isn't it? In bad weather,
exactly.
Yeah, amazing. 66, great round from George Coetzee, and he was thrilled with that. And he finished in a tie for fourth with Torbjørn Erlandsson. So how does the Great Dane assess his week in Sweden?
It's been good, you know. I've been in a very good mood this week. I've been my mental size has been very good. Even today, like I said, I was not playing good. Probably my B or even C game today, but I still shot -2, which is really, really good. So it's been a great week. You know, I've had so much support from the Danes and the Swedes. It's been a pleasure walking around out there and trying to win.
So we've got Chris Wood, who didn't have his best stuff, who finished second, and Torbjørn Erlandsson, who tied for fourth with his B or C game. They're very good, these players. They're very good.
They just need to order their A game for the right weeks, I think.
Yeah, get the A game ready, because the big summer on the European Tour is just around the corner. No doubt about that. OK, Ewan, please. Top 10 from the Nordea Masters.
Well, there was a massive tie for eighth. 7 players tied in eighth. Marcel Siem, Andy Sullivan, Nicholas Kolsarts, we mentioned earlier, Eddie Pepperell, Wang, and Hebert, and one player who caught my eye, Austin Connolly. He's of Canadian nationality. He's 20 years of age, same as Paratori. He just missed out on theweb.com. He came over to Europe and just managed to get a card at the qualifying school. And, of course, by finishing in eighth place there, he'll be in Austria, should he choose to play there next week. Big pal of Jordan Spieth, and Spieth actually advised him to turn pro at 18, so a name to look at there. Austin Connolly.
Yeah.
Seventh place all on his own was Jamie Donaldson. Everyone happy to see that. Back on form. In sixth place, Matthew Pavel. Torbjørn Olsen and Coetzee, of course, were alongside one another there on 283. Wood and Fitzpatrick in joint second place. And Renato, who's a very keen fisherman, landed the big one in Sweden.
Like it a lot. Remember to go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from Sweden, as well as other great social media content. Now, in Fancy Race to Dubai tips, I went for Alex Norén, who won the week before. He finished 15th. And I think this is a Race to Dubai show first. We tied. Dan Roebuck went for Lee Westwood, who also finished tied 15th. So if you were back in the finish in the top 15 or better, they were very good tips. Otherwise, they were just mediocre. So it is a draw. In the Fancy Race to Dubai game, Mirko Piccone scored the most points this week after choosing Renato Paratori as captain and also including runner-ups Chris Wood and Matthew Fitzpatrick in his lineup. No surprise with the big points there then. Mark Hyben still leads the overall global standings. Meanwhile, in our very own Race to Dubai show mini-league, the Sean Ryder Cup, my producer, Matt Vines, who keeps chipping in when it's not wanted, registered the most points this week. But fear not, listeners, he didn't pick any of his team himself, as it was auto-selected for him. Oh, the ignominy of it all. That is horrific. I can assure you that normal service will be resumed next week when he has to go with his own brain power. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their fancy three to watch at the Linus Open, powered by Organic Plus. Ewan, please, the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings.
Highly talented top 10 it is too. Francesco Molinari in 10th, just behind Thomas Peters. Hideto Tanihara, who got to the semi-finals of the match play out in Austin in Texas, occupies 8th. Fiesberger, who of course the host professional, I guess you'd say, this week in Austria, is in 7th, just outside the top 5, Ross Fischer. Into that top 5, Justin Rose at 4, Alex Norén, John Rahm from Spain in 3rd place, Tommy Fleetwood in 2nd, and the Masters champion from Augusta National this year, Sergio Garcia, looking down on the rest.
Now, in other news, Joel Gerbach secured a maiden European Challenge Tour title in front of his home crowd after carding a 3-under par closing round to become the first Swiss winner of the Swiss Challenge presented by ASG. The 23-year-old carded 3 birdies to reach the turn in 33, then went on to pick up further gains on the 11th, 15th and 17th, leaving him with a 4-shot lead as he walked down the last. And on the PGA Tour, Jason Duffner secured the fifth title of his career following a three-shot victory at a weather-delayed final day at the Memorial Tournament in Ohio. The American recovered from a third-round 77 to card a 68 on Sunday as he finished 13 under par ahead of Ricky Fowler. Another new name winning in Switzerland, Ewan, that's good. And for Duffner, signs that he's getting back to his best.
I feared for Duffner after the 77. It was a handsome lead he had at the halfway stage. It's a non-forgiving course after, say, Muirfield Village. You have to drive the ball well around there. Otherwise, quite simply, you can't find the greens in regulation. But it shows that Duffner is very much on his way back now, having won that PGA in 2013. And the confidence that will give him will see him through the rest of the majors for this year, I'm sure.
And I don't know if it's the reason or it's part of it, but he lost a lot of weight at some point, and he's kind of back to the body shape that he was when he played his great stuff.
Yeah, he had one or two off-course problems as well in the course of the last 3 years, but they seem to be behind him now. And Duffner's a really good player. He's a good ball striker. He's one of these ball strikers you can rely on. Quite a low ball flight off the tee, finds a lot of fairways. Putting was questionable. Even when he became a major champion, it was questionable. But as I said, that will give him a tremendous boost and the start maybe of his second career, if you like.
Well, the European Tour players did fairly well at the Memorial with Shane Lowry. He finished 15th. Ross Fisher tied 22nd. What about the top 10 in the world rankings? Very good reading if you're European.
Oh, without any question, because in 10th place we have a Spaniard, and it's not Sergio Garcia, it's John Rahm with all the exploits that he's had this year. Ricky Fowler moved up from 12th last week to 9th, just behind Alex Norén, who occupies 8th. Stenson dropped from 5 to 7. Spieth is as he was, and sixth place. And into the top five, Sergio Garcia in fifth, Matsuyama in fourth, Jason Day in third place. McIlroy, even with the injuries and the lack of play, is still second, but out in front by quite a long way, over 4 points in actual fact, is Dustin Johnson.
Now, the next event on the European Tour is the Lioness Open, powered by Organic Plus, and once again it's played at the Diamond Country Club in Alzenbrugg in Austria. An interesting golf course, Ewan. It's a great spectating course because in the middle of it, quite a few greens and tees come together, so you can see a lot of golf from kind of one position. It's a great place to go and watch some golf. And an interesting last hole, that par three over the water.
It surely is. Like Barsebäck last week, we'll be very well supported. They get great crowds over there in Austria. And the European Tour is now beginning to take shape. We talk about the Rolex Series and these eight events that make up the Rolex Series. But you look at the likes of last week, you look at the likes of the Lioness Open here, and you've got fans, you've got thousands of fans in there. Should be a cracking week.
Yeah, and it's normally quite warm and hot and sunny, and there's a little beach, a little fake beach by the water hazard, which plays a big part in that final hole, the par three. So, yeah, a lot of fun there in Austria, no doubt about it. Ash and Wu, I know you keep an eye on a lot of players from the Far East because Lee Hao Tong, you often go for him when you're tipping, and Ash and Wu, another brilliant player.
For sure. And by the way, Lee Hao Tong was second in the US Open qualifying. He'll be in the US Open. A great player. Again, we're talking about 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds. This is the future of the game. Ashen was the other end of that. Much more experienced player. Played a lot, obviously, over in the Asian PGA Tour and the Chinese PGA Tour events they have there. But he's one of the few players who's come over and made a success of Europe as well. So I would expect him to be up there challenging at the end of the week.
Yeah, 62 is the course record. Adrian Ortegi did that last year. Daniel Lim in 2014. That's a low score around there. And there are water hazards on half the holes. 9 holes have got water hazards on it, so you better drive it well. Give us an idea who's playing you in.
Bernd Wiesberger. Great to see him supporting his National Open. I spoke to Bernd at the BMW PGA Championship, and he said that he could not miss that tournament, even though he's going to have to race to go to Erin Hills for the US Open the next week. So good on Bernd Wiesberger. Chris Wood also in that category. You mentioned Ortegi. He finished second last year, if you're looking for some form there. Christopher Broberg has started to show some decent form again. He'll be there. Gary Stalpass, winner in Abu Dhabi. And Matt Wallace, I think, has captured the imagination of a lot of people in this country.
Yes, you're quite right. When Matt won the fifth major, Ewan, in Portugal, that was the end of a fantastic run for him to win 5 in a row on the Alps Tour and playing for, well, a little more than $2,000 for first prize. And now he's playing in all those Rolex Series events and everything. A remarkable leap up the golfing ladder. Who else is going?
Jose Manuel Lara was Sergio Garcia's caddy at the Players' Championship this year. He's in on a sponsor's invitation, as is Mike Weir, former Masters champion from Canada. I think you're looking at maybe one of 25 players in there. It's a good opportunity for those players who are not in the US Open to go there, concentrate on the Australian Open and get the job done. But it's a pretty good field, as you'd expect, and as I say, there'll be plenty watching it.
So your tip, Ewan, more importantly?
Well, I had a look at Robert Rock, Mark Warren and Lucas Bjerregaard, and they crossed my mind. And having not had such a great record on the Race to Dubai podcast over the course of the last few months, I'm going for a home victory. I'm going for Bernd Wiesberger.
You've not really stuck your neck out there, have you?
I normally go down the field, as you well know, but that really hasn't worked over the course of these months, so I'm going for the top boy.
I'm going to counter you with Matt Wallace, who I saw, I do some reporting at the US Open qualifying at Walton Heath, and I saw him part of a seven-man playoff hit a three-wood on that first hole on the new and pitch it right next to the hole. It was very impressive as a hit. So on the strength of that and the fact he managed to scrape through and get one of those precious invitations to the US Open, I'm going to go for Matt Wallace.
I know for sure, Rob, a lot of people are talking about Matt Wallace, and he seems to have something about him. He's got a strong personality and obviously a very good golf game as well.
Well, as we're coming up to the second major of the year, the US Open, a lot of players here looking to do well in Austria. I'm going to give you a second pick, Ewan.
That's very gracious of you.
Thank you.
That pick's going to be Nino Bertasio, because I'm going to continue the Italian theme.
Oh, the Italian theme. All right, cool. And I'm going to go for, we talked about the qualifying, and I always try and pay attention to people I've just seen, or, oh, I should have picked him because of X, Y, or Z. So I'm putting his groceries in the back of the car in Waitrose. I'm going to go for Grégory Bourdie, because I saw him painfully four-putt his third playoff hole at Walton Heath to miss out on a spot at the US Open. So I'm going to say that Grégory Bourdie comes roaring back here in Austria.
You took a long time to tell us that.
It was a long story, wasn't it? It was a little bit long-winded, but I got there in the end. So my two picks are Matt Wallace and Grégory Bourdie, and yours are?
Nino Bertasio, and of course the home favourite, Wiesberger.
Oh, that is it. That should be one of those four guaranteed to come in with the check next week. That's it for now. Next week, of course, we'll look back at the action from the Lioness Open powered by Organic Plus and preview the second major of the year, the US Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. But for now, from Ewan Murray,
goodbye.
And myself, Robert Lee, it's goodbye.